Hallelujah. God bless you, church family. I'd like to wish everyone a Merry Christmas. You know, 1 week from today is Christmas. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I just crave to go back to remember what Christmas is. And this morning, it's just a very simple Christmas message. And sometimes just remembering what Christmas is and what the story is and letting the Lord just minister to this, as there will be much, I believe, strength in just one more time retelling of the Christmas message. And if you would turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. With 7 days to Christmas, there is much to keep us very busy this coming week. And I pray that this simple word is something that we can ponder and meditate and be drawn to this week. Luke chapter 2. Father, we just praise you. We love you. Thank you. We celebrate Christmas. Thank you, Lord. The never old story of how you came into the world, oh God, and what your coming means and has meant to we, your creatures, Lord, to humanity, to your children and your church. We glorify and worship you today. We ask you, Holy Spirit, just to take this simple word, Lord, and your word. Speak to us deeply, O Holy Spirit, and glorify your Son. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Much of what happens at Christmas in our modern world, I believe, is to obscure the Christmas message and what it's really about. There is a true wonder of Christmas, and it's glimpsed and it is felt at moments in this season. And it is greater than the force of the focus of the reindeer and the wrapping paper. And no matter how enjoyable that part of Christmas is, it's truly to miss the strength and the comfort, the beauty and the joy that heaven sends to all men on earth in this season. The first Christmas night was truly a night of wonder on the earth. And if you will just read with me the oft familiar words found and oft quoted in Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. Truly a night of wonder, and encapsulated, it's because, as the scripture says elsewhere, we sing Emmanuel, God with us. For God being with us, we are able to say, as a believers, as a Christian church, for unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and unto us is born a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And then God backs this reality that God has been made flesh, that God has become humanity, that which he created, he has become one of. He backs that truth by setting the heavens ablaze with the glory of angelic creatures, citizens of heaven that appear in the sky and start to proclaim glory to God in such a triumph, in such power and astounding glory. And they say glory to God, and then they say peace on earth, goodwill to men. The heart of this Christmas story, I believe, is found in verse 7. And when I would just like to look at this one scripture this morning, and when it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son. And when we look at these two words, firstborn and son, we see something absolutely amazing. When that word, when it says firstborn, and of course speaking of firstborn of the virgin, that firstborn means, of course, precedence and superiority, as a firstborn does. But it also means, if we look at what it says, and I'll just refer to it, but you don't need to turn there, in Colossians 1:15, it means that Jesus Christ is the firstborn. He existed before any other thing. He created all things. Everything that we see and know was created by him and for him. All of creation is his achievement. All of creation is for his pleasure. This firstborn who created us and everything we see and is unseen, the uncreated who created, has come into the world, not made of the world, not a product of the world, not the best human being that man could ever come up with. No, this is totally outside the realm of man. And he was born into this world from the heavenly realms, where there was never a time he did not exist. And he created everything that we see. This is this firstborn. And he created, because he lived and came to the earth, he created the church of the firstborn. And all the rights and privileges of the firstborn are ours, because Christ is our head. Christ is our center. We are his body. And he is able to bestow the privilege of all the privileges of the firstborn upon his church, his bride. This is who came that first Christmas morn, the firstborn of the virgin. And then the scripture says that she brought forth, in verse 7, a firstborn son. And that word son is not the same word as babe or baby found later in the scriptures in this part of Luke. But that word son actually means son of God. It means that the birth of Christ in his humanity and the sinless nature of his father's character, that's this son that was born. The son of God, fully human. But then it says in verse 7, and she brought forth this wondrous firstborn, the uncreated Son of God and God the Son. And here's the wonder of it, wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And I'm thinking, you know, swaddling clothes were familiar, but swaddling clothes is a strap or a wrap, strips of cloth, which you take an infant and you wrap their arms and you wrap their legs, that they become immobile and that they can't move. And I'm thinking about the glory of God himself choosing to be swaddled. The arms that created everything strapped to his side and swaddled as an infant and laid in a manger. That, of course, is the crib where the fodder for animals is placed. Swaddled, he's put in a place of an animal food holder. Laid, put there, no power of his own, he is laid there because there was no room for them in a conventional place. They were forced to go, as it were, to the outback, not even a poor people's comfort inn, but where animals were housed. And I was thinking, you know, the panic that maybe hit Mary and Joseph without a doubt, because the scripture says in the chapter before that Mary knew when the angel came to her and she believed the word of God to her, that the Holy Ghost would come upon her and the power of the highest would overshadow her. Therefore, that thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And she knew this, and Joseph, through dreams and through God speaking to him, they knew, traveling to Bethlehem, not maybe fully understanding, but knew the exceptionalism of this child, probably hard to believe the words themselves. And yet, when they got to Bethlehem, perhaps a panic hitting them, how could we let this happen? How did circumstances come that when Mary went into labor, whatever their expectation of what that birth would look like, I don't think they ever anticipated that they would be ushered back to where the animals were. And maybe they thought, how could we let this happen? But of course, we know that these circumstances were completely out of their control and out of their planning. Because the wonder of Christmas, my friends, is that God himself chose a manger to start his life. The highest one and the holiest one chose the rudest, simplest, lowliest way to come in the most forgotten part of town. God himself chose a manger. And my point, and the point of this sermon, is very simply this. Sometimes I feel like my faith is like a manger, cold and rough. Sometimes I feel very swaddled and limited in my ability to walk with God in a way that pleases him, or to be who I feel I'm supposed to be. Sometimes our ability to believe feels like it truly is in the outback, a far place from being strong. Sometimes as Christians, we have feelings to give up, to give out, to give way, but just don't want to give again. Sometimes we feel so poor in spirit and so humbled in our spirit in the face of standing before people in our witness. Sometimes in the face of their cold-heartedness or their desire not to change. And we feel perhaps a faith that is very much like a manger. But God chose a manger to come into this world. He chose a rough, cold, dark, rejected, unesteemed place to come to us. And I will not give up believing that God will always come to the manger in my life. He will never stop choosing to come to a place that I feel very rough and very cold. I remembered that he left glory, as the angels testified, and he's going to return to glory as those left on a mountain when he ascended into heaven saw. But on this earth, he chose to meet me and humanity in a lonely, cold, and forsaken place. And throughout my Christian walk, I am convinced he will continue to meet me at every manger moment I may have. He chooses the manger. And somehow, the thought of that gives me courage in the most surprising way. Jesus identifies with us. He chooses to meet us in our roughness. I can't get to the glory he left, or he's going to. I can't many times climb the dizzying heights of faith or in my lack of perfection for love of people. But he meets me at the place of his choosing. For unto us a Savior is born, a Savior that came to a manger. And every manger moment we have reminds us of his ways. And when Jesus came to a manger, the glory of God broke out in the heavenlies. He's not offended by the roughness of any manger, but the glory of God broke open the skies, and a splendor and a brilliance and a commanding presence, and a light that can break any night. And this is a sign unto you, it says in verse 12. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. And beloved, I believe this Christmas that when I don't fear my manger moments in the cold sometimes of my own heart, or the sidetrackedness or the roughness, that I remember that Christ chose to enter the world there and chooses to meet humanity there on his terms. When I feel swaddled and so that moment comes upon me, I remember that Christ coupled his manger coming with the glories in the sky, and that a spirit and the wonder of Christmas being leashed upon the earth, because when Jesus chose a manger, his Father, our Father, chose to back up this choice with angels in the sky proclaiming peace on earth, goodwill to men. When Jesus chose a manger, he was choosing for me access, how to have peace with all men and how to have goodwill towards them. And beloved, I want to receive this pronouncement, and I want to go with the flow, so to speak, that the Lord has unleashed a spirit of peace at this time of the year, and also goodwill, and I want to be able to open my heart to it and to make peace with all men. I want to flow in the moment that the spirit of peace and goodwill has been sent by God, and though we can get sidetracked by the reindeer and the wrapping paper, I know that when I stop and in the cold and roughness of my heart, I can know that he meets me there, and he's sending a spirit of peace into my heart and on this world right at this moment, and goodwill towards men. And I want to fully receive that spirit of peace and goodwill. And I know he's able to change me in my major moments this week, and that I may have peace with all men. Beloved, I need to make peace. And the Lord was reminding me of that this week. I was thinking about a time where, you know, I was just finding it very hard to make peace with a certain individual. And I told the Lord, you know, I've confessed it concerning this one, and I've laid it down and pushed aside it. And the Lord said to me, but do you want to make peace with this person? Do you want peace with them? Do you want peace with them? Or do you want to rehearse the grievance, the disappointment? Do you want to the grudge and the rehearsing of the issues? Or do you want peace? And in the rough, cold spots of my heart, I had a manger moment. I said, I want peace. Your glory is in this, and this is the moment. This is the season. I can have it in abundance. And I said, Lord, peace on earth. That's what you say this time of earth. You come to our manger moments and our manger heart. You say peace is possible. And to act with goodwill. Goodwill means to act and to think. Goodwill means to act and to think according to men, as God at that moment is doing. And we heard it so powerfully this morning, that God has a mercy call for this last moment of time. He has a mercy call. You know, one time their prophet in the Old Testament was taken to a valley of dry bones and asked him, do you think these dry bones dead in front of their idols can live? And the prophet said, oh, Lord, only you know. And he wasn't being smart. He was saying, Lord, I don't know what they have done and how far they've strayed for you. I don't know if there's mercy. But you know what he was saying? Only you know. He was saying, Lord, if you choose to be merciful, there will be mercy. It's out of our realm. I'm saying, Lord, goodwill this season and this time on earth. If you are choosing to be merciful, then we will live. If you choose to be merciful, if I choose to think and act with goodwill because of the hour we're living in, regardless of what the response is, oh God, you will meet the manger moments. You will meet the cold roughness in my heart, but you will remind me that's how you choose to meet me. That's how you entered this world, and it was backed by the glory of the Father of saying this is the right way and always will be the way he will meet humanity and change us. We don't have to be afraid of the future. The angel said, fear not, for unto you is born a son, for unto you a son is given, who shall be the Savior of the world. Lord, I'm not afraid of the cold and roughness of my heart, for you have come into the world this way, and you will meet me. You choose to meet me on this ground, and then you choose to back right now that encounter with peace and goodwill. Lord, and I felt so encouraged this week because my Jesus chose a manger to come into the world. And so I receive this gift of what he will do in my manger moments, and how somehow there is this strange coupling of the manger and of peace and goodwill towards men. I don't understand how one works and towards the other, but I don't have to understand it. I'm just going to open my arms up and receive what his coming into the world and coming into my heart means. And for me, it means peace with all men and goodwill. And I know this is the season where his spirit over the Christian church is saying it is possible in me. Because I'll meet you at your manger, your cold, dark, forsaken moments where we cannot, where we feel so unworthy, where we feel humbled, and where we feel small. And so, peace on earth, goodwill to men, I'll ask, Lord, cause this to be a reality in my heart. For you came into the world to send this to us, and I received this gift. The true wonder of Christmas is that no matter how I'm feeling, I know I will encounter Jesus, and I don't have to back away from him this week. And so I was thinking, in my receiving his gift of recognizing where he meets me, and then coupling it with the fact of a glory will come into my spirit, wanting peace and goodwill. Receiving this gift of his, I was thinking, I'm going to give my family this Christmas the gift of prayer. I'm going to give my family the gift of example. I want to give my family the gift of a listening ear. I want to give my church family the same thing, my Summit family, because Jesus chose a manger. And through that, there is a move of the spirit of peace and goodwill. Beloved, this is a very, very simple message. But it is a word to us that understand the wonder of Christmas. And to truly rejoice that Jesus Christ has come. And the way he came, that speaks to us not just Christmas morning, but every morning. That we can truly rejoice of what, when he chose a manger, what it means for me, and the hope of change it brings to my life, and the hope it brings to all of us who call ourselves his followers. God bless you this Christmas. Thank you.
Bless the Lord. You know, I was praying this morning on the platform, back and forth this morning before the service, and the Lord just kept speaking to me. We must love mercy. But to do, the Lord has shown thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And these things the Lord's been speaking to my heart are so necessary now. To do right. The heart that says, I want to do right. I know what wrong is. And I know what right is, but now, by God's grace, I have to make the choice to do right and to love mercy. Now, I like mercy, and I'm starting to learn to love mercy. To love mercy. It's a whole different level and depth, and that's why God came to this earth, because he loved mercy. He wanted to be merciful. And many of us now this season have got to get through a lot of family times. And you're going to have to love mercy. When you gather at whatever kind of gathering you might have as a family, whatever's left of family, and you have to endure the snickers and the scorn of people who are resisting their own salvation. But there's something so powerful in love, something so powerful in humility. There's something so powerful in when you and I don't feel we have to defend ourselves. The love of God has taken us beyond that place of having to prove who we are and what we do. We just simply love God and love people. There's something compelling in it, my friends, absolutely compelling in this love of God. And I'm going to give an altar call this morning for those that are here in the sanctuary, those that are in the annex, those that are listening at Summit and Roxbury and on the internet. For those who just say, Lord, teach me to love. Teach me to do justly. Teach me to walk humbly. Because I don't know how. I'll give it my best efforts, but my best efforts will always fall short of the glory of God. So, Lord, you have to do this for me. This morning as I was praying on this platform, I had a sense in my heart. And I began to pray. I said, God, my own heart is insufficient for this journey. So yours has to come over the top of mine and beat along with it. But you have to cover it. My own mind is insufficient to get through the days ahead. So your mind has to cover mine. And your mind has to think above mine and put those thoughts into me. My hands can't be tender like yours. So you have to cover me. That's why the Bible says, put on Christ. There's no other way to do this. We don't have the strength to do any of these things. But he does, and he's willing to give it to us. And what we heard this morning can truly become ours, each and every one of us. This can be a happy time. It doesn't have to carry with it this season the pain that so many have become familiar with. It can be a happy time. And God can give you the strength to reach out beyond yourself. Hallelujah. Father, thank you. Lord, these are words that are deeper than our minds can understand. It speaks something to the heart, so profound and so powerful. Help us, Lord, just to be drawn to you and to be willing to identify with you and to be willing to let you be God in us. Father, I thank you for this with all my heart today. This is a great day. It is a wonderful day. It is a joyful day. It is an awesome day to be alive and to know God. Lord, I'm asking for those who come to this altar and those who will allow you to touch them even where they sit. I pray, Jesus, that you put a song in us. Lord, I'm thankful that angels sang, but I want to sing. I want a song in my heart. I want to be able to sing glory to God and on the earth peace and goodwill to all men. I want that song to be in me, not just in a textbook or just sung by angels. It wouldn't be right if only angels could sing it. You have a church now on the earth, and I believe you gave us a shadow play in the heavens of what we're supposed to be and how we should feel and what our message ought to be. And so, Lord, come and cover us in our frailty. Strike up the orchestra inside of us, Lord. And let us begin to hear the voices of heaven and be able to sing along with you, Lord, and to sing that song in the strength that you give us. Lord Jesus Christ, help us to move with compassion throughout our city and wherever we come from, Lord. God Almighty, help us to see people the way you do with eyes of love. Oh, Jesus, help us and strengthen us for this journey. We thank you in your precious name. Now we're going to stand, and if the Lord's speaking to your heart today, I'm going to ask you to come forward and meet with us at this altar, and Pastor Teresa will come back and pray with you. So let's worship for a little while. In the annex, you could step between the screens, the same thing in Roxbury, and if you're streaming at Summit as well, and just come forward. Those who need strength for this journey, you need the touch of God just to get through this season and to get to a place where the love of God is shed abroad in your heart. Please just move forward. You can slip out. You can go to either aisle. And Pastor Teresa is going to come back and pray for you.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, you chose a manger to enter this world because we needed it. You showed us, Lord, how you choose to enter humanity in a rough, a cold, a forsaken place, and then light it, Lord, and transform it. That all of heaven has to declare when you made this choice, Lord, it was for us. Lord, continue to meet us, Lord, and let us not back away, because you choose to enter our hearts in this condition and yet promise to bring us, Lord, to a place of peace, peace with you, peace with one another, goodwill, Lord, a transformation in our hearts. You chose a rough, hard, cold place to come into. And Lord, we will never back away, Lord, from inviting you every moment we need you into our heart and life. When we don't have peace and we don't have goodwill, we invite you into the manger of our heart and lives. And you will be faithful because you enter the world that way. You chose it because we needed it. So we give you thanks. Lord, I pray, Lord, for everyone who finds Christmas so hard. Lord, there is no peace and there is no goodwill for them. Lord, I thank you. You will visit the wounded in heart, the hurting in heart, the painful hearts, Lord. You come to a rough manger of our lives and heart. And I thank you for the healing, Lord, and the peace. I thank you, Lord, for the change this Christmas, because our eyes are on you, Jesus. Heal now. Heal, I pray. Lord, let us leave this place able to have peace and goodwill. Let the wonder of the true spirit of Christmas be ours because you chose a manger. I thank you, oh God. I thank you for the hope. I thank you, Lord, as we center on you this Christmas and truly put Christ the Lord in the center of our worship and our experience. The joy and the peace of this season will be ours. We will extend goodwill to those around us because we draw on your life. We draw on your, Lord, who you are at the manger of our heart. We welcome you here. And we thank you we're being sent out different. We truly love you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We always say you are welcome into our hearts. Thank you that you never say that place is too rough or too mean. No, 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 no. You chose a manger. And for this, Lord, we thank you this Christmas. We thank you for the gift of peace. We thank you for the gift of goodwill. We thank you and we celebrate. We say joy to the world. For unto us a son is given. And unto us a Savior has come to the manger of our lives. And we are sent out different. Bless us now. Bless this congregation this whole week as we meditate and think on this. And you, Lord, will cause us to be a people of peace and goodwill for your glory. And we thank you for it. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen and amen.